Welcome to the Murray Connection, where we provide relevant information in business and employee benefits, interview those who have been there and done that, and maybe even entertain you along the way. We are excited to have you here with us today. Now here's your host, Mark Woodworth.
Today we're talking to TESH, which is a nonprofit here in Coeur d'Alene, and we're really excited to talk to you guys today. Now, before we talk about TESH and what TESH is and what it does, I think we should probably meet the folks who are going to be telling us about TESH. So we have two folks with us today. And so the first one is Marcy Hartzell. And Marcy, you're the Chief Executive Officer, or CEO, of TESH. So if you would, tell us a little bit about you and what your role is. How long have you been at TESH? And why did you join the organization?
Yes, great. Thank you. Yeah, I started at TESH just a little bit ago in June. Came to TESH, sort of a massive career change for me. I've always been in marketing and communications in different industries, education, internet service companies, STCU. I worked for the banking industry, Kootenai Health Foundation for a while. So the switch to TESH was new for me, and being a CEO was new for me. But I made the decision to come to TESH because of the organization that they are, the people that work there, and the work that they do. It's very, very important in our community, and I think it's sort of unknown. We work with a very small niche of families and community members, and I thought my skills could really bring to TESH a direction that they've never had before. So.
Yeah, that's excellent. And I think quite often we see people who have been in the business community at some point in their career switch over into the nonprofit world to be able to bring their talents. And so I suspect you're going to bring a lot to the table. And also, here in a few minutes, we'll hear what it is that's going on at TESH. But before we do that, Terry Johnson is vice president. And Terry, I would love for you, again, to just go ahead and tell us a little bit about you and what your role entails, and then how long have you been at TESH, and why did you join the organization?
So I have been at TESH 23 years in January, which is very hard to believe. I started, at the time I was working in three different jobs, and I was working for a marketing department, and we were doing TESH's marketing, and a position opened up at TESH. And so there we go. I moved on over and I've been here ever since. So currently I oversee programming at TESH. I do the human resources, the facilities, which I didn't know that I had such a fun talent for. I'm having a great time with redesigning things. And so that's pretty much why I came there was, honestly, there was an opening and I was very excited about it. And you cannot be at TESH and not fall in love with it. I don't think I was even there a month before I knew I had found my place. And as Marcy mentioned, the staff, they are absolutely amazing. And I don't think you can find that group of people very often. So
Yeah, it's hard to pull a group of people together unless you have a common goal and a cause, right?
Yes.
And I think that's what's exciting about learning about TESH is Marcy had just said, you serve a small niche in the community. And I'm a little familiar with TESH, and so I might know a little bit about that, but some of our listeners may not. So let's go ahead and shift over to having the two of you, and we'll figure out whoever's going to talk about it, which is fine. What is TESH? What does it do in our community?
Well, TESH is an organization that serves youth and adults with disabilities. And every day we serve 80 individuals, and then we have a kids program that serves kids with disabilities in the afternoon. Along with that, we have, and Terry can talk more about this, but we serve adults in our day program, we do a work-ready program, we do job placement for individuals with disabilities, and then in the summertime, we have a youth camp for kiddos. And when I say a small niche, there are a lot of individuals in our community affected with intellectual and physical disabilities, a lot. However, there aren't a lot of programs that support those disabilities, sure. And TESH is one of those. And so I like to think of it in a way where we're sort of this best kept secret for that small niche of individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if you're a family, find yourself in that situation, I would say all of a sudden, Tesh becomes a very big thing, or could become a very big
thing in
your home, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, it's estimated that one in five families have a person in their family with a different disability. And so that's pretty huge when you think that's just in Kootenai County. And so we do seven different programs outside of TESH. And as Marcy was saying, we have our day programs where we do what's called developmental therapy. And so that is trying to help people learn and increase their independence. They may be learning how to cook for the first time, or they may be learning how to sort items for the first time that they've never been able to do, or learn how to say hello to somebody. We do, as she mentioned, the after-school program. So we serve our children there going out into the community. Some of our children in that program do have some significant challenges as far as behavioral issues, and so we help serve those kids. In the summer, that program transitions into a summer program where we have at least 40 kids.
Oh, my.
And 40 staff. It's one-to-one. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's for kids that, you know, most of us get the opportunity to have a camp experience. Well, our kids are not going to get to do that most often. And so through TESH, we're able to do that.
Wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Actually.
And we have a summer work program that Marcy also alluded to, that we have another 40 students that start in there. And a lot of them are in their very first jobs for the first time. It's a 6-week program. And they spend a week with trainers that teach them how to learn how to work with employers. And we partner with, we had 22 partners this last summer where our students went out and worked for their very first time. And so that 5 weeks, 100 hours of work for them.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so I would think, you know, that serves obviously the individual. Do you call them your client?
We do.
Okay. So that would serve your client, the individual with the disability, but it also serves the community. It provides perhaps a service that they actually needed, of course, but it also gives employers and businesses a way to be involved too.
Yes, definitely. I think too, when I talk to our clients that have jobs in our community with our partners, you cannot find an employee that takes more pride in the work that they do. And, you know, we are facing, like everyone else here, a little mini crisis with being able to employ individuals. We are not reimbursed for our pay that we pay our employees at the rate that they should be. So many of our employees have opportunities, or even our clients, they could go work somewhere else for a much higher pay. But when you think about what we do and the structure that's provided in those atmospheres, the clients that have jobs that are placed out in the community, they take so much pride in what they do. The fact that they have the same crew of people that they work with, the same job that they do every day, they get to know everyone. They don't have different shifts. It's very important to them. And that is also indicative of their disability. And so that when I talk about a niche, that's it too for them, because they may not be able to be successful in a regular work environment. Mm-hmm. So the structure's there for them. And I think if more businesses could realize that, man, they wouldn't have a crisis either.
Right.
Because we have employees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
We do a lot of job development, and we have job coaches that will support the clients when they're out at their sites. So if we could partner with more people.
Be fantastic.
And these are folks that will stay long term. They can do the most menial of tasks that would drive probably a lot of us crazy, and yet they will do it over and over and over again. It's amazing.
And I'll just tell a story. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, please do.
So my first week on the job, I was coming home really late. And late for us. We close our doors at 4 o'clock and staff is gone by 4:30. So I was getting home at like 6. And my husband's like, what is going on? Why are you staying there so late? What's happening? We have a client who does our cleaning in the evening at our facility. And because I was new, he wanted to show me what he does. And so he had a video on his phone, and he would show me his video of how he cleans our sinks. And I'm not telling you, our sinks are spotless. They are beautiful. So I was like, okay, let's see this. You know, so I get to watch the video, and then I get the whole demonstration about how he buffs out the sink to get the scratches out. And you know, after the third day, I was like, okay, I'm not sure I need to watch the video again. But I left every evening with the largest smile on my face. And the feel-goods, I get them right now, you know, Goosey's, because he was so proud of the service that he was providing us and the work that he does, and knowing that he does this for other organizations as well. And I thought, wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting goosebumps right now thinking about it, because you don't find that very often.
You know, that's really interesting that you say that, because we all want to work with people who are enthusiastic and positive, do their job well. You know, you're not having to go behind them and, you know, pick up the slack or anything like that. Like, that's something we all want.
Yes.
And yes. You just described that to a T. And that individual, your client, could probably teach quite a few people.
Most definitely.
Something, yeah?
Most definitely.
Fantastic. That is
work
fantastic.
Ethic.
Yes.
Joy for what you do.
Yeah.
You know, positive attitude. Yes. It was just... I went home and I have two girls, and I said, ladies, here we go. Lesson.
Oh, my. Yes, I'm sure that might have changed a few things in your house, right?
Let's get this straight.
We're going to have some new expectations for all of us here. Okay, wow. That's fantastic. I love the story. Hopefully, we'll hear maybe another story before we're done here today. But so I'm curious to know, what is the history of Tesh? How did it begin? And I'll start by saying, I remember a few years back, the community came together and came to your campus and spent thousands of dollars and many man hours, and they built out like a cover for a walkway.
Good memory.
They were They were remodeling things. There was a show on TV, I think, at the time that was really popular.
House to Home.
That's the one. And the community just came in and
they were amazing.
Did an amazing thing to your campus. So I just remember that piece. But let's go back to the history and how it all began.
So it started, TESH started in 1976, and it started with a grant through vocational rehabilitation. So we're often asked what TESH stands for. And at that point in time, it stood for Transitional Employment Services for the Handicapped. Well, about 24 years ago, we stopped just doing employment services, and the word handicap has completely fallen out of favor. So we're just now TESH. But that's how it started. It did start as a work program through a grant, and then we were able to continue to build on and started working with health and welfare to provide the day services. We had a vocational center. We have one, and we're always looking for partners there, too. The clients do an amazing job on assembly work back there. So we've done things for Avista and STCU. But back then, at that point in time, we also had other entities that were renting out part of our business space. Now we've grown so much over the years that we've been able to actually fill our entire space. But that's how it got started. And then, as I mentioned, 24 years ago, we started with an additional building in the back that was meant for computer training and has now turned into our activity center. So we just added on as time has gone on. We have our janitorial crews that came through that. And that's, as Marcy was alluding to, we have wonderful crew members out there. And so I can't even remember when we added those, but I think it was before I came. So we've just grown little by little, new increments every few years. We reinvent ourselves and try to find what the needs are out there.
Yeah, well, we're in such a flux of change anymore, right? So it's great to be able to change with.
Adding children to the program, I think, in the after-school program, that was with partnership with Coeur d'Alene School District, I think, initially. And I think, you know, that group of students that we serve, again, sometimes wouldn't necessarily fit in an after-school program at the YMCA or back then, even at the school district, when there's the integration just wasn't capable with when you need a one-on-one. So starting a program at TESH just makes sense to serve that set of students. And then that develops into the summer camp. You know? So there's just seeing things or needs and trying to help. And that's how we've grown throughout the years.
Yeah.
And partnering with the community. We could not do any of it without the partnerships.
No, we couldn't.
And the businesses.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. So how has the community supported Tesh over the years?
Well, I think amazingly.
Yes.
I have been involved with Tesh both personally. I had a family member that was a client of Tesh back in the 70s, 80s. So I saw from afar the work that was happening with him and what was going on. And then throughout different careers that I've held, I worked at STCU and we were a client or a vendor of Tesh. And so I was always kind of intermixed in what was going on. And what I did see and what was important to me that I think I could bring to the table as well was that connection to industry or to business and how, you know, what are their needs? What are our needs? How can we come together? Mm. And many times, you know, talking with the businesses, they have no clue of some of the services that we can provide. And so it's just bridging those gaps and finding ways to provide win-wins. And I think financially, of course, for us, it's huge. But more importantly, like you mentioned, man hours. You know, we don't have a maintenance crew, a facility crew to help with our campus. We have a large campus, and it's great when a local business comes in and helps us do painting or shrubbery work or, you know, whatever it might be. We rely on that.
We do.
And wouldn't probably exist without those partnerships. Because it would be Terry and I on the weekends.
It would not be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I can so imagine that happening, of course. Well, so I have been to your campus, and it is rather large. You have multiple buildings, an outdoor area.
Yes.
So I'm curious, can a business or an individual, can they come to the campus and take a tour and kind of see what's happening at Tesh?
Please. Definitely. Please.
Please.
I think for a while there, we were doing a tour like every couple weeks.
Yes.
And we mostly work through the chambers and their different leadership groups or ambassador groups, but we would love for businesses to come.
Very much so.
Yes. Terry and I do a great tour. You get
to
meet clients, see what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And I think when you step in the doors, you feel what we feel instantly.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be crazy. You never know what type of environment or client is having an issue at that particular moment. But it also gives people the real sense of the work that's being done, which isn't easy work, but it's super rewarding. And when you get to walk through the facility and see that, it changes you.
And they come and greet you and stick their hand out to say hello and
love it.
Tell you about their dreams.
Yep.
And
Eric will come up to you and say good morning and talk to you about the movies that he's going to be in. And it's fantastic.
And what parts we get to play.
Oh, that's...
At least we're in it.
Yeah, you get to be in it. That's fantastic. Well, so I guess that kind of makes me think for a moment about the folks. We're getting to meet the two of you, but you have a staff there that's working hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder with your clients. Can you talk a little bit about the folks who work at Tesh? I suspect as a nonprofit, they're not getting rich doing this. There's some sort of an emotional connection, a calling, something that makes this feel like this is where they need to be.
Yeah, it takes a special person to do the work that we do at Tesh. And my sister has worked in the education system working with kiddos that have disabilities in the schools. And I have watched her, she's younger than me, but I've watched her grow into this amazing, patient, caring problem solver, more than just a mom. You know, what she does on a daily basis is commendable. And when I see the work that she does in the schools, and then I think about the employees that we have at Tesh that are doing this from the moment they wake up in the morning, sometimes into the evenings, depending on the client needs or what's going on, and the severity of some of the disabilities that we do serve, it takes special people to do this work. They're not paid well.
They are not.
Not well at all.
Sure.
I will just say that. So it means that they they're tied to this work in a way that you can't describe. And they know on a daily basis the work that they're doing with the clients. It does make a difference.
Yeah. Huge one.
Huge. Mm-hmm.
So our average turnover there is about 13 years. We have three staff that have been there 34 years.
Wow.
And so more often than not, you're going to find staff that have been there and put in their heart and soul for more years than you could even count. The clients look towards them. They respect them, and they know that they're going to be well taken care of and in whatever realm they're in, from our job coaching to our vocational center to the classes. I've watched our staff who came in and really didn't know how to teach a class and didn't think they could. And they have worked so hard to learn how to do that. And it's just amazing to see the excitement and to see what they're showing our clients and how much they've grown. And watching from our kids program and go up into the adult program and see where they were when they were little and see where they are now to a child that might have had some severe challenges and behaviors to someone who now has a job. It's amazing.
And you see our staff and they want to make those transitions with the clients. Mm-hmm. They're family at that point.
Yes.
And so I know this has happened with our staff, as clients have moved through the system and aged up into different programs, they move with them too. And it's important for them to see them fulfill those dreams or have those little successes, and they want to be a part of that.
Yeah, so they've made an investment
of
more than just writing a check, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting, as I was listening to you, it made me think about, there's such a movement in corporate America right now that, especially with a younger generation of new professionals and such, people want to work for a cause, they're making a difference, even though they might be selling insurance. Mm-hmm. Or whatever the thing might be, they want to know that they're doing something of value. And I suspect that's something that's been happening at Tesh for ever since the beginning.
Definitely.
I know it has for me.
Yeah.
For sure.
I've worked both in nonprofits and in corporations and small businesses. And when Tesh became a possibility, I knew I needed to work for an organization where when I walked out of those doors, for whatever reason, I had the goosies, and it could have been something that happened at 9 o'clock in the morning mm-hmm. and Eric greeting me when I walk in the door, or it could be, Ronnie showing me how to clean the sink or asking to take my trash out. And mm-hmm. I knew that working for an organization like that, whatever busyness I had or what I wasn't getting accomplished didn't matter once I walked out that door, mm-hmm. because whatever we do does make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Mm-hmm. That is fantastic. I'm sure some people that are going to listen to this are going to say, wow, I need that in my job, right?
Well,
there you go.
We need
there
employees.
We go. There's the advertisement right
it's
there.
It's not easy. It's not easy, but it is fulfilling.
That is fantastic.
You will find an amazing team that will help you do whatever you need to do. It's one of my favorite parts is, I don't care what program, what job you have, somebody will jump in to help you on and in anything. And so come on board because they would love to help.
And we are a tight staff. We don't have a large body of individuals. So we do all have to kind of pitch in and help where it's needed. COVID was hard. If we have a couple staff who are out with COVID, we have to close our doors because mm-hmm. that's how tight we are. So it has happened multiple times throughout the last year. Mm-hmm. And that, when you talk about our community and the need to connect with the community, that's where it's important for us. When our doors are closed for a week at a time and we can't serve our clients, it means we're not getting revenue from the state. Mm-hmm. And that can't happen on a regular basis for us.
Sure.
And so that's where we do rely on our community, the sponsors and the donors that we have. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to keep our doors open.
We wouldn't, because everything we do is based on billable time.
Mm, okay.
And we have to incrementally count every 15 minutes. And so if you can't provide the service, then we have nothing coming in the doors.
So maybe talk about that for just a moment. How does the funding happen for Tesh?
So we have two main funding sources. Well, actually, I'll say three because I'll add in the fundraising piece, because without fundraising, we couldn't exist. Through the state, we also have health and welfare that I have been here, as I mentioned, almost 23 years. And in that time, we have had no raises in our reimbursement. So if you look at one of our programs, it has been $6 an hour for 23 years because it started when I started.
Yes.
And so when you think about the impact of that, now, gratefully, with COVID, they did give us a bump that they have not rescinded. And so I'm hoping that that's a majorly positive step for us. We're also funded by Idaho Department of Vocational Rehabilitation. And so they basically hire us to help find jobs for folks or to support people on their job sites. And so throughout that, we've built some very nice partnerships with them. So those are our main funding sources. And as I mentioned, without the fundraising, and again, without the lack of moving on wages and raises and all of those things, we have to have the fundraising to survive.
There's essentially anywhere between a $1,200 and $1,800 gap between what we get for reimbursement and the services that we have to provide. So
Per person.
Oh, that's substantial.
Big.
It is.
Add that up.
How do you fill that hole?
Fundraising.
It is fundraising.
Grants and fundraising.
All right. So fundraising. Let's talk about that for just a moment, because I will tell you that many years ago, when I heard about the hangover handicap, I thought it was kind of naughty.
Yes. I thought, when I started.
So drunk people are going to show up, and I know there's a story behind how that name began, but that's probably one of the things you're very well known for in the community is this fun run that happens on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
I think it's a 5K. I've done it numerous times myself. And people show up the next morning and they do this run along Lake Coeur d'Alene. So can you talk about how long that's been going and where it came from?
45 years.
45 years.
45 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So being new to TESH, you know, some of the things as a new CEO, I thought, oh, you know, we're going to change the name of Hangover Handicap. Yeah, right? To me, you know, the word handicap isn't necessarily a word that we use and should use. So we're going to change the name. Oh my gosh, the grief that I got for thinking about changing the name. In the new logo design for that, I did leave off Hangover Handicap, and I was not appreciated by doing that. So it's back on there.
It's back.
Yes, it is called Hangover Handicap. It's January 1st, starts at 9:30. It is a 5K. In the past, this is something else I did change. It has been a 5-mile run. People could run, walk as long as they wanted. And my inexperience in running events, I said, I am not standing outside on New Year's Day for that long. So I changed it to a 5K.
Okay. You know what? You probably get a few more people with a 5K.
If
they understand that a 5K is less than 4 miles,
yes,
not five.
Yes, that's right. So, and this year there are some changes to the more changes to the run that were not my fault as a CEO. Typically it's held downtown on Lakeshore Drive. It's moving to Riverstone this year because of some construction that's happening down in that area. So it starts at 9:30. It will be at Riverstone. Check-in will be at the gazebo at the Riverstone Park, and then we'll run along the Centennial Trail to NIC and back.
Oh. Excellent.
Fantastic.
That's still
right?
Great.
Even
right.
Yes. It'll be beautiful. It will be cold. It will be fantastic.
There's still water.
That's right.
it's going to be great. So about how many people show up for that
every
year?
I think we've had about 150 each year. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a little behind on registrations right now, but I have been told that a lot of those come in the last couple weeks.
Yeah. That's I know I've been guilty of being one of those people in the past. So, and I do think people try to drag others along with them. Like, if I'm going to do this, you get to come do it with me too.
Well, this is the first year my family is starting a new tradition. We are normally the family that does party the night before out at the bonfire and don't get up New Year's Day to do anything. And So we're shifting our party to after the fun run this year. And my whole family is participating in the Hangover Handicap. And then we're going to go home and watch football games and build a fire and do what we would normally do.
There you go. You have what, Sunday? Night. I think you have Sunday to watch football. Yes. And okay, there you go. It's a good thing. New Year's is on a weekend this year. So it can all, this will help you transition into this new family thing
and
you're doing.
And after the Hangover Handicap, you can go do the Polar Bear Plunge and make a day.
Oh my goodness. You know, I've often thought to myself, wow, I should go do that too. But I think that's as far as it ever went. So, but I do know there are people who
are
go
people.
Right from one to the other.
There are.
Okay. Well, there you go. That might be too much in one year though, right?
For me? Yes.
Oh, yes. Okay. I'd say for most people. But all right. So we've learned a little bit about the two of you, of course, about Tesh and what Tesh does. We've talked about the community a bit. As we start to kind of come in for a landing here, I'd like to hear from you. Well, first off, is there anything else about Tesh you would like to share? But also, maybe just wrap up, how could individuals and the community support Tesh more?
Well, not only Hangover Handicap is one of our events, but we do have other events during the year. And in March, I don't know the date off the top of my head, March, beginning of March, we have a benefit event and auction, and we would love people to come to that event. It's an evening event where we highlight and have fun and talk about who we are and the work that we do and really have a good time, celebrate everything. So we would love people to come. There's an auction, a silent auction, a live auction, some great prizes, music. It's fun. It's great. So we would invite people to come to that and participate. We are always looking for businesses to come on board as sponsors for our events. And not just for our events, you know, although that does help us, but sponsor a client at that $1,200 a year. And you have made an enormous difference for them. And I, you know, you could spread that apart throughout the year, and that $1,200 fills a gap that not only helps, you know, the events are great, but there's also a cost in events. And so that $1,200 goes straight back to the clients and the programming, and that would be huge for us.
And I would also add on, as we've talked about with our community partners, we are always looking for more work for our clients that are in our vocational center. Assembly work is wonderful, something they do, and they do it extremely well. So we look for that. We're looking for partners as far as being able to place our, right now, our adults in the workforce and support them. We look during the summer for opportunities with businesses to have, as I mentioned, our kids over there. We love volunteers, and as Marcy pointed out earlier, volunteers have been wonderful to us in painting rooms in our building and donating a gorgeous quiet room for our kids program and cement outside. And we've had Eagle Scouts that have helped us around the building. And so we're always looking for somebody who can help that way.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is there's no shortage of ways that individuals, communities, businesses can become involved, support Tesh, support the clients that Tesh is serving.
Yes.
And I mean, that's fantastic. And
we have a website. We
you
have
do
a
have
Facebook
a website.
Page.
That's right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
There you go. The website where is where
Tesh.
There you go.
.com.
There you go. And we're all getting pretty good at doing those whole searches, even if you don't remember the www, right? But that's also where you would go and register for
the events,
the events that are coming up.
Yes,
okay,
right.
Great. That's fantastic. Well, really enjoyed talking to the two of you
Thank
and
you.
Just getting to know Tesh. And I certainly do hope that this will encourage some folks to go on the website, to make a call, to come to one of the events, to maybe even reach out to one of you and say, hey, I've got maybe an opportunity for one of your clients. We would hope that will come from this.
Well, and I think, too, it's not just about that. I hope that individuals who listen to this podcast will be able to say, oh, my gosh, this family down the road, they may need some resources. I know where to connect them.
Yes.
And that, for me, is really what it's about, so that we can share with our community the opportunities that do exist for that
and help
niche.
Support them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tough road.
That's fantastic. So that is great. I know Murray Group would like to do a small donation for one of your upcoming events, and we'll talk about that afterwards.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So, of course, we're going to end the way we always do. We talk about very important things on this podcast, but I think the most important thing is to ask this question. Each one of you can have your own answer, of course, and that is, what flavor of ice cream do you like?
It's a good one.
It is a good one.
Go ahead.
And mine's going to be weird. Watermelon is actually my favorite ice cream.
There's a watermelon ice cream?
Well, there is. I'm going to sound snobby for a minute because I was blessed in college to go overseas. And in Austria, they have watermelon ice cream, and it's the most delicious thing you've ever had in your life. So that's my very favorite. But here I will say chocolate chip would be.
Good old chocolate chip. Nice. What about you, Marcy?
My favorite ice cream I just discovered recently, and I haven't been able to find it up here anywhere. So I will have to make trips to Boise quite frequently. It's peanut butter chocolate stout. It's delicious.
It just sounds like a great combination.
Smooth and rich. Creamy.
All right. So maybe at some point some of the mainstream ice cream makers will figure this out. But for now, it sounds to me like you got to go to Boise to get this stuff.
They'll have to have their own section in the grocery store for alcohol
ice okay. cream. That's right. Must show your ID to purchase. Okay. That is fantastic. We have not had that answer as far as ice cream goes before. So both of these are a first without a doubt. Well, hey, again, Terry and Marcy, thank you so much for spending time with us today. We really appreciate you just sharing your heart and letting us know what Tesh is about. And I'm sure if anyone has any questions about Tesh, it's really easy to look up. There's a website, there's a Facebook.
Give us a call.
You can even look up a phone number. It's really easy to call and inquire, whatever that might be. And I'm sure these two would be more than happy to provide an opportunity. All right, thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Murray Connection. We hope you will subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a review. You can follow us on Facebook or LinkedIn. For any questions, you can contact us at info@murraygr.com or call our office at 877-765-2620. Stay well and join us next time.